Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on May 29th, 2012 at the Top Hat and features nine storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, I Got Lucky. This week's story comes to us from Mike Robinson and is titled El Gordito. Thank you for listening.
So the theme tonight is I Got Lucky, and I've been lucky a lot in my life. The first professional job I ever got in my life, I got without even trying, without even looking for it. I just graduated undergrad here, geology. I was signed up to go to grad school at Utah State University. They were still on quarters. That meant they started in October, which gave the whole month of September to be in Montana for the archery season, which is great. A friend and I started off at the – he's sitting right there. We started off at the Lolo border. It was great. It was a great huckleberry season. Caught a lot of fish, saw a few elk. After a week, we were going to move to southern Montana. My friend was going to be unemployed after the end of this adventure. So he said, since we're swinging through town, I have a few resumes out. I'm going to make a few phone calls and follow up. Like the second call I made, the guy says, you know, I don't know if I meet anybody this winter, but I need someone next week, and I need two people. You have a friend. It was just a week gig. Sounded pretty good. I have a little money. Still 2 weeks of the archery season. We started. This guy had lined up a lot of work in South America after this, and one thing kind of led to another. And 2 weeks later, I'd postponed grad school, and I was on a plane to Bolivia. I was going to be a geophysicist. I had taken one class in geophysics. the only class I had ever – I was a pretty good student. I failed this one. I skipped the final to go on a ski trip. The work was good. We had lots of projects. We did electrical geophysics. It was all exploration, looking for gold and other minerals. We did electrical surveys up in the mountains, a lot of fun. We did these magnetic surveys. I did one down in the rainforest. That was a lot of fun. My story tonight is about the most interesting job I had. It was a seismic job. It was for a gold mine. There was an existing gold mine. It was an open pit along the fault zone where the gold and mineralized. The fault zone, this place kind of looked like Nevada, except at around 14,000 feet. Very barren. The valleys were just completely flat, full of clay. The foothills rose up. It was rock. The mine was right at the foothills going down to the valley where the fault zone headed. And what the mine owners wanted to know was, is this fault zone extended under the valley? Were there any places where the bedrock kind of came up where there was minimal clay, where it was economic to remove that clay and then mine the gold underneath? And our job, and my job as a geophysicist, was to map the subsurface topography of this bedrock and see if they could find any of these high spots. To do this, we're going to use a seismic survey. I don't know if you know about seismic. That's where you send shock waves through the ground. You can do this with a sledgehammer and a steel plate on the ground. You put a plate, strike it with a sledgehammer, and the shock waves go down. When they hit something harder than what they're traveling through, they reflect back up to the surface. You measure the time it takes them to go down and come back up. You estimate how fast they're moving. You calculate for time or for distance. That was the theory. The mine, I'd never done this before. The mine gave me all the equipment I needed. They gave me a couple pickup trucks, which is great. They hired four guys at a local village to be my crew. And because the bedrock was much too deep for a sledgehammer to work, they gave me 50 cases of dynamite. I'm like, I'm 22 years old. This is great. Start off a little slow. We figured it out after a while. We welded this pipe cap on it. We'd pound that into the ground and then pull it back up, and that left a hole. We dropped five or six sticks of dynamite down in there. You'd take a blasting cap, squish that in a stick of dynamite, drop that in the hole, maybe another stick or three on top of that. You put the dirt on it. And then you string out these geophones. These are little listening devices that detect sound waves. You string these out along your survey line. You take cables from all this back to the pickup truck. You hook the geophones up to this scrolling device, a recording device, and then the lines from the dynamite, you hook one in up to the positive terminal of a car battery. And when everything's quiet, you look at the things, nothing's moving, you turn the machine on. Got to forget that. You turn the machine on and touch the other end of the cable to the dynamite, and that sets off the dynamite. The shock wave starts, and you can watch it move through the geophones. And when it's moved through the last one, you turn it off, and you move down the line, you start again. It all worked very well for a while. We had four transects. They got deeper into the valley. They were about 2 miles long. They got deeper. When you got deeper, two things. You had to use more dynamite because you have to go a long ways deeper. Also, these sound waves, as they travel, they go down at an angle. And to detect them, you have to get broader. So we had to use more and more cable. And it got to one point where I went to touch the dynamite off, and it didn't go off. The 12 volts of the battery couldn't push the current out to the blasting cap and back. So I was pretty clever. I thought, well, we'll just take the car battery out of this one, hook it up in series, well, 204 volts. And that worked well for a while. We got deeper yet, and I said, another car battery, 36 volts. And it didn't take me too long to figure out that I didn't have to waste time taking the car batteries out. I'll just leave them in place. We had lots of wire, so you just string it up, you know, positive, negative, back. It all worked well. The crew was great. They were teaching me Spanish. Not Spanish I could use in polite company, but they were great. One guy, El Gordito, he had a lot of fun with the dynamite. He would take the spare tire from the truck, put it on top, and see how far, 25, 30 sticks of dynamite would launch a spare tire in the air. If anybody's curious, it's really high. So, you know, after everything, you do it enough, it kind of breaks down a routine. And the routine broke down to two guys, their job was to put the geophones in. Another two guys, Edwin and Al Gortito, they were putting the dynamite in. My job was to sit back in the truck and get all the instruments ready. And I was doing that on this particular day. You had to get all the instruments. You had to string blankets over the windows because the recording paper was photosensitive. I was putting the batteries out, positive, negative, all the way back. And I was going to get a piece of equipment, and I heard an explosion. And I froze, and my heart just started racing in this chill in my spine, and I know exactly what I did. I connected all the wires. I wasn't thinking. I was just, doing it quick. And 600 yards away, Edwin and El Gordito, they had put the dynamite on the ground. They were doing their job. They were putting the dynamite on the ground. They were probably using 26 or so. Blasting cap, put it in there, piled the dirt in, grabbed the wires from blasting cap, connected to the wires that I was connected to, and it was a live circuit, and they were instantly blown across this desert prairie. I was shaken. I didn't know what to do. My knees crumbled. I was in the dirt. I had only one thought, and that was, can I somehow heroically go and jump into this explosion and, save somebody? Silly idea. There was El Gordito and Edwin with the two guys doing that. El Gordito, he was the jokester. Edwin had invited me to his house a couple days before. He had four kids. He had a mud shack. It was about as big as this porch. Four kids. There's no way to make money in rural Bolivia. He was proud to have this job. To provide for his family. You could just tell that. He was showing me off. I was the guy. I was giving him a job. And his family was proud of him. but now he was dead. And I was sitting there in the dirt, and I was staring off down. I could see the crater down there. And when this is happening, you can't really understand what you're seeing. I was seeing two figures kind of walking around in the middle of this crater. And I thought they were the other two guys going to get him. And I was looking, and one of the guys was clearly El Gordito. I mean, he was easy to recognize even at 600 yards. And the other guy is Edwin. I could see the hat And I couldn't understand because they were in this crater that what had happened. I did what I did. They went and they buried this thing. El Gordito started walking, and Edwin connected the wires. And he took about 4 steps, 3 seconds. And that's when the dynamite came off, just about from here to there. It was just timing. It was an hour and a half job to put in this dynamite. And he cleared it by about 3 seconds, just walking from here to there. El Gordito, who was probably another 30 yards away, he's the one who got the debris because the mud kind of mushrooms up and comes out. Edwin was completely clear. His ears rang for a month, I'm sure, but nothing happened to him. So that's my story. This was 17 years ago, something like that. Still, I'll be driving down. It'll be a bright, sunny day. And that sound of that explosion will just hit me in my mind, and I'll just see these two guys flying across the prairie. And then it's like waking up from a nightmare. You're just, your heart is racing. You have these shivers on your spine, and you think, wait a second. No, it didn't happen that way. That's because I got lucky. So.
Tell Us Something is brought to you by the bookstore at the University of Montana and the Top Hat Lounge. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. The Top Hat Lounge, regularly bringing Missoula great live music. More at tophatmissoula.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. More at factandfictionbooks.com. Garage Tees, screen printing, t-shirts, and more. Montana is for badasses. Find them at garagetees.com. Josh Quick, illustration and design. More at quickjosh.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Rock and Rudy's, great people, great music. More at rockandrudys.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. They have new music up on their site. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 9th at the Top Hat. The theme is forgiveness. Find us on twitter.com/PSSTTELLUS. twitter.com/tellus. And at Facebook at facebook.com/tellussomething and at tellussomething.org. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours?